is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining with us this week as Pastor Mars continues his series, The Power of the Blood. But first, some beautiful music from the Cathedral Quartet off of a medley on their 25th anniversary CD, a song, Thanks to Calvary, from that medley.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Thanks to Calvary,
I am not the man that I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them,
thanks to Calvary,
I don't come here anymore.
You can't escape it. Somebody told me not too long ago, they sent me some sermon materials by John MacArthur. He's a pastor out in California. And I was very, very discouraged and disappointed to read what John MacArthur said about the blood. He said the blood of Christ is of no real significance. It was just human blood. And when Jesus shed his blood, it just went into the earth. It wasn't the blood of Christ that saved us. It's his physical death. Well, I guess that's one step ahead of Kenneth Hagin, who says the physical death of Jesus means nothing. It's the spiritual death that means everything. But it's not enough, you see, because the Bible makes clear that the blood of Jesus was shed. Now, we can talk all day about what is it, the blood of God or the blood of a human. We do know that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. There is no father on earth that conceived Jesus. There was no sperm. There's no DNA of a human father. Now, I'm not going to get into some technical term, and you know, we could get a hematologist, a blood expert, to come in here. We could discuss the chemistry of the blood and all of those things. I'm just here to tell you that there is something miraculous and wonderful and totally undecipherable to the unsaved person about the blood. You know, in Leviticus it says that the blood is the life of all things. The life is in the blood. I once read that it was really only in the last 150 years of human history that so-called doctors believed that there was life-giving power in the blood. Think about that. Life-giving power in the blood. But the Bible said over 2,000 years ago, the life is in the blood. And you know, that blood, without blood, without your blood flowing through your veins and up into your brain and through your heart, you're a dead person. Likewise, without the blood of Christ flowing through you, spiritually now, I'm talking about, you're a dead man. You're dead. Let's talk more about the blood of Christ. Now, remember, Jesus gave his life one time. We read in Hebrews, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Remember, they had to keep sacrificing the animals in the temple over and over and over in the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood. Well, by Jesus' own blood, he entered in once in the holy place. Doesn't have to keep doing it over and over. He just did it once. And in so doing, it says here in Hebrews, and by the way, this is chapter 9, verse 12. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal. That's forever and ever and ever. He died one time physically, not spiritually. He can't. Jesus is God. He can't die spiritually. He died one time physically, and his blood was shed, and that supernatural powered blood did the work one time. And Christ uttered those tremendous words, "It is finished." And that wall of separation that separated God and man, it was finished too. It was torn down. Remember, the veil in the temple was rent? Oh, yes. The power of the blood. I'm reading again in Revelation something powerful. Revelation 5, verse 6 talks about the Lamb of God. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. I want you to understand something. Here the Lamb, who was slain, and there are seven spirits of God. You see, the spirits of God, the Spirit of God, proceeds along with the blood. It goes hand in hand. You can't have the Spirit of God without the blood. And this blood had the power to conquer sin and cleanse you from all imperfections. Now, this same blood is the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says that Jesus was brought again from the dead by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do you understand that? Jesus was resurrected by the blood. The blood actually resurrected him. What do you think is going to resurrect you? My friends, you have a mortal, corruptible body. And when you die and go into the earth, what do you think is going to resurrect you? But the blood of Christ. The blood resurrected God's Son, and it's going to resurrect you too. The blood has resurrection power. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, Mr. John MacArthur out there says, you know, the blood isn't important. Well, maybe it's not to him. Maybe he hadn't been cleansed from all his sin. Maybe he's not a saved person. But Tex Mars is here to tell you, by the authority of the power of the Word of God, that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanses us from all sins. We're cleansed in the blood of Christ. It cleanses you from all your sins. Jesus is the high priest, and by his blood we have a new covenant. My friends, if you have a heart made pure and clean by the blood, don't let Satan, the accuser, come to you and say, you have an imperfection. You have spots. You just say, depart from me, Satan. For by the blood of Christ, I have been made whole. I have been changed. I am a new person. And although I may be vulnerable to the flesh and so forth, you'll never have any of me, Satan, because I have the blood of Christ. You know, friends, I don't think you can have peace and harmony on this earth unless you have the blood of Christ. That's why sinners are never happy. They're never satisfied. One time I met a witch that came to know Christ. I guess she was the witch that switched. And she said, you know, when I was a witch, every time I did a sacrifice to the horn god Satan, I would feel real good for a while. I'd feel warm and fuzzy, and oh, I felt so good and powerful. She said, but you know, just a few short hours later was the come down. I felt dirty and trashy. I'd have to go do another ritual to try to recapture that good feeling. She said, and I went in cycles over and over and over again. I was never satisfied. I was never full. I had no peace. I was constantly in turmoil. The spirits, the devils, kept me in turmoil, she said. They had grasp of my life. I was a slave. I was a bondservant to wickedness and to the ritual. Well, Jesus had one ritual that he did one time for your eternal redemption. Now, this witch found that out. She believed in Jesus. You know, one thing that she told me that I'll tell you changed my life. When I was talking to kids some years ago, I was talking to kids at a church, speaking to a youth group. This witch, she told me something. She said, you know, when I was a witch, we did vile things to children. And she said, but I noticed something in the neighborhood where I was. The children who I couldn't reach, I couldn't get a hold of, I couldn't manipulate, I didn't know why, but later, every case, in every instance, I found out that child had a Holy Ghost parent that prayed over him, prayed the blood of Christ. You know, that witch couldn't get to those kids because the blood of Christ had been prayed over them. She couldn't do it. And she said that's when she turned to God. She said if the blood of Christ had the power that my master, Satan, could not touch those kids, I knew that he had lied to me. There was no power in my master. All the power was in Jesus, for he had the blood. Colossians 1, verse 20 says, God, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Do you realize that peace comes through the blood of the cross? There's nothing in earth that can be peaceful. There's nothing even in heaven that can be peaceful without the blood of Christ having been shed. Now, one of the things that Scripture says is that we are to be obedient. Jesus was obedient. Philippians 2, verses 8 and 9 says that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. You know, in the book of Revelation is something so, so mighty. It says of the last days, saints, that they loved not their life unto the death. They were willing to give their life. You know, I don't think anyone can really give their life unless they know that the one to whom they're giving the life, that there has been some kind of a miraculous experience, that someone has shed their life for them. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. You see, the Bible says that we overcome the beast by the power of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. A lot of folks have a powerful testimony. I don't doubt it at all. I've heard testimony of saved Christians and they make me cry tears. But their testimony by itself means nothing. Did you know that there's people out there giving fake testimonies? There's fake Christians out there. They're making up stories. And I read not too long ago, a pastor was exposed. He went before his congregation. Actually, he was an evangelist, went before this congregation. And he told them all the things that he had done wrong. He said, oh, I was once a drug addict. I was arrested 17 times for heroin possession. I spent 6 months in prison. I did all these things. And God changed me and made me a new person. And you know, that actually raised that man up in their esteem. There's something about Christians that's very strange and maybe good. When we see or we believe that the power of God has worked in a man, we praise Jesus for it. And when this pastor got up and bragged about all the evil things he had been involved in, but that God had gotten him out of, the Christians clapped their hands and said, amen, brother. He was held up even in greater esteem. And then he began to get even more reckless. And he added on a few more transgressions. It seems like you have to be the most smutty, dirty, horrible person on earth to get people to pay attention to you. The person with the worst testimony gets listened to the most. That's not necessarily the way it should be, friends. I remember the young ruler that came to Christ. He said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, have you obeyed the law? He said, I've obeyed the law ever since I was a child. I've never transgressed the law. Well, Jesus could see that he told the truth. Can you imagine a righteous person that had never transgressed the law? I didn't say he didn't sin, but in terms of the laws that the Jews had, he had kept those faithfully. And Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Give everything, all of your possessions, take and sell them and give the money to the poor and come, follow me. See, Jesus read his heart. Jesus knows what is in the heart of every man. This man had been obeying all the laws, this young ruler, very powerful person. Everybody looked up to him. Oh, he was such a righteous person. Obviously, a person of great wealth. And Jesus knew that it was his wealth that was his downfall. And when Jesus required that of him, it was too much for the young ruler. And he went away very sadly. He wanted to follow Christ, but he didn't want to sacrifice and give up what he had in material possessions. We've got to be obedient to Christ, whatever he tells us to do. I one time asked God why he called me to this ministry, because it's such a burden. I don't want to whine, but you know, I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of people that hate my guts. There are a lot of people that are angry. I can't even tell you how many vile letters I get sometime in the ministry. Now, I also don't want to whine, because I get more positive mail. I get more wonderful Christians who write to me. Many, many more. But every time I get just one letter, it makes me feel bad. And I once asked God, I was complaining, and I asked God, why did you choose me for this? Why didn't you choose somebody that was more, had more power, had more say, maybe was hooked in and had connections with big denominations, had a lot of money? Why did you choose me? Because frankly, God, I'm just too weak to do this ministry. And you know, God, every once in a while, will actually speak to you. He speaks to you all the time when you pray. You feel it in your heart. But I'm telling you, it's almost as if the words are carved in stone. It's like Moses. You know, you're given these bits of stone, and you have to read them. And that's the way God did me, and God answered my question. Because I was so distraught. I was under such terrific pressure. So many people were criticizing and condemning me for standing up to God, for God. And you know why God told me? When I said, God, why me? Why did you choose me for this? It's just so hard. He answered me. He said, I knew you would do it. Boy, that shut me up real fast. God knew I would do it. There's people more rich. There's people more smart. There's people with all kind of talents. But God just chose me because he knew I would do it. I guess the world would say, well, Tex, you're just stupid enough that you'd go out there and do those things. They get you in a lot of trouble. They get you in a real jam in the world. God knew I would be obedient. That's very powerful. My friends, if you want the blood of Christ to have its all sufficiency in your life, to turn your life around, then you've got to be obedient to the calling of Christ. Now, another thing that you need to have is faith. In Romans 3, verse 25, it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. See, Christ Jesus can't be a propitiation for you. He can't let you avail of that eternal redemption unless you have faith in his blood. I'm sorry about the Mormons that don't have faith in his blood. I'm sorry about John MacArthur that doesn't have faith in his blood. I'm sorry about the witches and the goddess worshipers that don't have faith in his blood. I'm sorry about Alice Bailey and the Lucis Trust people that don't have faith in his blood. Because without faith in the blood of Christ, you cannot be saved. He cannot be a propitiation for your sins. Not too long ago, a woman, she came all the way from Massachusetts to ask me one question. She said, "How can I be saved?" Well, I told her all about how she could be saved. I thought I was giving her the royal Roman road. I mean, here it is. This is in the Bible. You've got to repent of your sins. And I told her all those things. And she said, "I did all those." I said, "You did?" She said, "Oh, yes. But I still don't know if I'm saved." I said, "Well, there is one thing you lack." She said, "Well, what is it?" She'd come all the way from Massachusetts down here to Texas to ask me, "What is it?" I said, "You don't have faith. You don't have faith in the blood of Christ." She says, "Well, I want faith. How can I get it?" Now, these word of faith people, they say, "You got to dredge it up inside. You got to think positive. You got to speak positive. You got to believe." Oh, no, no, you don't have to do any of that. I'm going to give you a magic formula. That's right. A supernatural formula today, my friends. You know how you can have faith? You ask for it. You ask for it. You remember what the one man said to Jesus? "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." This woman said, "I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus. I want to repent for my sins. I've repented for my sins. I'm sorry for them. What do I lack?" I said, "You lack faith." She said, "Well, how do I get it?" I said, "You ask for it. You really want it, and you just ask for it." She said, "Is it that easy?" I said, "Yes, because there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to have faith. But God will give you the faith that you need if you but ask. The Bible says you receive not because you ask not." I have this question for you today, my friend. Do you have faith in the blood of Christ, in its power to take over your life, to lead you? The Bible says in Ephesians and Proverbs, it says that God has already arranged the steps of a righteous person beforehand. You get up in the morning, everything that's going to be happening to you that day is already arranged in advance. See, you think you're keeping a holy schedule, huh? God's already got it worked out. Probably your schedule will go awry, and God will put you down avenues and opportunities that you didn't even know existed. You couldn't possibly. My friends, do you have faith? You say, "Tex Morris, how can I get faith? I want to have faith." Just get on your knees and talk to God. Talk to Jesus. And say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." This is so powerful. So powerful. You can be weak, but He is strong. And admit your weakness. That's why Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth. They're not cowards. They're just meek before Christ. They're willing to say, "Lord, I need more faith. I want to believe. I want to have faith in the blood and its miraculous power." And Christ's blood then will protect you. It will empower you. And you'll have peace forever through His eternal redemption.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Tex Mars as he just concluded his series, The Power of the Blood. And now we're going to bless you with some more wonderful music from that wonderful medley by the Cathedral Quartet from their 25th anniversary CD.
Now when the rich and poor get together with the Lord, get together with the Lord, where they will treat each other like sister and brother, when they all get together with the Lord. Well, God has no favorites and we're all the same, they say. We'll see our many friends and our loved ones on that day. We'll all be so happy when St. Peter says this way. Then we'll sing, 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 sing now when they all get together. When they all get together with the Lord.
Well, they will treat each other like sister and brother.
When they all get together with the Lord. With the Lord.
for Jesus had risen and soon would ascend. But then as he blessed them, he rose to the heavens and he gave
Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.